Pop quiz. Which country's flag is the only one in the world to feature a building? The answer will be revealed in just a minute. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Cold Tour, the show where we tour the different cultures Pierce's population has to offer and discuss what makes each cultural makeup unique. I'm your host, Chir Nakash. Today is Thursday, April 20th. It is 2:50 p.m., and you're listening to kpcradio.com. So remember my question about the flag. Did you answer Cambodia? If you did, you are correct. The building on the flag is Cambodia's famous Angkor Wat, the largest religious building in the world. That said, I'm very excited to welcome my guest, Vandy Lee, to Cold Tour. Vandy is an undeclared student here at Pierce who moved to the United States from Cambodia less than a year ago, and we'll be exploring the culture she grew up with on today's episode. How are you, Vandy?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good, too. Thank you for joining me. So you were born and raised in Cambodia, but in which city specifically?
I was raised in Takmal, which is right near the capital city of Phnom Penh. And we only have one main capital city. So
you're right next to the capital. Is it in the middle of the country?
It's a little to the edge, but mm-hmm. It's kind of count as a little. Little-ish to the middle also, and other provinces is more countryside, so the city is the main place everyone want to visit to.
So you were born and raised in Cambodia, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And were your parents born there too?
Well, my dad, he's Cambodian Chinese, but mostly he speaks Chinese, and his moms and dads are Chinese. My mom is Cambodian and she's born and raised there. My dad is raised between Cambodian, China, and in the U.S.
Oh, okay. So then you have a Chinese dad and a Cambodian mom.
Mm-hmm.
You said your dad was also American?
Mm-hmm.
From how is that? Explain.
He came here when Cambodia was under a Khmer Rouge. It's a civil war kind of ish, I guess.
Right. It was 4 years of ruling under a king that wanted to kill all of the educated people, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I read about that. Okay. So he moved here to the United States mm-hmm. when that happened?
And then he got his citizenship here. That's how everything happened. And then when he went back to Cambodia, he met my mom there.
Oh.
So when they got married, and then he took my mom to the U.S. Embassy. And then they got the marriage certificate. And then the children that's born after, they are U.S. citizens. I have two nationality.
Wow. Okay. So your dad got citizenship here, married your mom, so she got citizenship. And then you, mm-hmm. as offspring, got citizenship as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay, cool. So you didn't have to worry about any of that when you moved here. You were okay getting in and
yeah, no I was okay visa. With everything. It's just that I have two citizenship, but it's just I haven't been here before, so then I'm not a California resident. They said I have to be here a year and a month.
Right.
Or a year and a day to be a California resident.
Right, so you're a citizen but not a resident. That makes sense. I have two citizenships as well. So I have Israeli citizenship, but before I lived there for only a year on my gap year, so I'm not a resident either. So I know, I get it. I understand. So why did you decide to move to the United States? You said that you came here last June, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I was in Cambodia, I have to put my brothers in school. And since they were in school, I have to find a way to work to get them, to pay for the tuition and stuff. So I decided to work in that school. And
the school that they were attending?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The president of the school, he let me work there, and then I helped to teach the preschooler and kindergarten. And since Cambodians were not, we're a third world country, to be honest, so then their English is not that well, and since I have an American accent because of my dad and everything that I experienced, so then they were like, oh, why don't you just come in and teach the kindergarten and preschool how to speak English? So I was teaching them speaking English and just ABC. Yeah.
So you were teaching English in Cambodian elementary schools, or was it a separate a daycare type thing?
It's an elementary school.
An elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the kids you were working with were what, 4, 5, 6?
Yeah, from the age is from 3 to 6.
Wow, really little.
Okay. Tiny.
Yeah, my mom runs a daycare, so I'm thinking of how tall they are. They're like that tall. Mm-hmm. The audience can't see. They're about knee height. Very, very short. Okay.
Super cute.
Very cute. So you came here last June, and the only family tie or cultural connection was that your dad lived here. He moved out here in the 70s. If he's moved out during the, what did you call it? Something Rouge.
Khmer Rouge?
Khmer Rouge, right. And he moved here in the 70s?
Maybe around that time.
Around then. Do you know how long he lived here for?
He's been back and forth. So he said that the first time he came here was around like 8, he stayed here a really long time, like 8 to 10 years, I believe.
Wow.
That's how he got his citizenship.
Right.
And then he went back and forth. And then when he came here, he actually opened a bakery.
Oh, wow. So, what's it called?
I have no idea, but it's just about like donuts and cakes.
Does he still run it? No, it's not. Is it still open?
No, because my dad, he passed away since I was 7.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, so do you know if the bakery is still running regardless? No. Okay, interesting. So did you come here by yourself then?
I flew here by myself.
And that's a brave thing to do. So you taught English in Cambodia, and then what happened? You decided to come here. Why?
It's because the thing is, there's one aunt that actually lived here. And she wanted to take both of my brother here. So, like, for them to come to school here instead of going in Cambodian school, and then I have to work to put them in there. So she took both of them here, and then I was like, why can't I go too? And there's something about, like, Cambodian Chinese that they're more to the boy side than the girl. So girl, they don't consider it as important as boys for, like, Chinese. Because my aunt is Chinese, like, she's... So anyway, so then she took my brother here, and then I was like, well, I want to go there. I want to study, get my education. It's a good place to get your education here. But then she was like, oh no, you can just keep working there. A few years, you'll get married, you have kids.
In Cambodia, she meant? Okay, how old are your brothers that they came here?
The one after me is 16, and the youngest one right now is 12.
And how old are you?
I'm 19 and a half.
All right, so almost 20.
Almost.
19, 16, and 12. Okay, so they came here before you. You flew here by yourself to come and join them because you wanted to learn as well.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
But they're living with my aunt, and I'm here by myself. Like, there's no connection between us.
So you don't see your brothers or your aunt?
I can't see them. Just talking Skype or by phone.
Why is that?
There's some just families stuff, and... Since I came here and they don't want me to be here, they're just like, oh, study there, get married when you're like 20 or like 19 now, have kids. Once you have kids, you'll just stay home and then take care of the kids, and you won't be working anyway, so it's useless to come here to get your education, and then you can have debt and stuff. And I was like, that's not what I want to do, and I'm not planning to get like a family or anything soon or have kids soon. I want my education. I want to find out like what I really want to do. And then I just booked a plane ticket, and then I flew here, and then it was against what my dad family want.
Like, so your aunt is from your dad's side?
Yeah.
Okay.
From my dad's side, most of them, they don't support me coming here. And they're like, oh, you're a girl. You be here by yourself. It's not safe.
Wow.
So then
it's a double standard then. So males are allowed to do whatever they want and come wherever they want, you know, learn whatever they have the opportunity to, and you weren't. That's unfortunate. What does your mom think about everything?
My mom supported me 100%. She was like, go for it if you want to do it.
Well, that's great. Good. Okay. So other than the two brothers and you, do you have any other siblings?
No. Okay. I don't have any siblings. I have just only cousin that I'm really close with that stays with my mom in Cambodia. That's about it.
Wow. Okay. So growing up, were you familiar with American culture at all? Like, I honestly don't know how much of an impact we've had in Cambodia in terms of pop culture or anything like that.
Since I grew up in Takma, which is near Phnom Penh, and Phnom Penh is where every foreigner, they come and they'll stay there before they visit other provinces and like national landmark we have there. So they'll fly in and they'll like book the room, like a hotel or guest house in Phnom Penh for a week or two and stuff. Since my like city or province is near Phnom Penh, we get a lot of foreigners, and there's actually restaurant and food that, so I know a lot of about like foreigners and stuff, and since I know English, so it's not that hard.
Right. You were familiar with the language even mm-hmm. before you moved out here. So mm-hmm. I read somewhere that even though you guys have like a KFC and a Burger King, Cambodia mm-hmm. is one of the only countries that's never had a McDonald's. You guys have like an equivalent. It's called like Lucky Burger, right?
Yeah, we have Lucky Burger. I think that's the most famous one. And then now we have KFC and Burger King. I think some like different ice cream company came into. But McDonald's, not yet. I think they're planning to open one, but I'm not sure.
Was the food industry here shocking to you, the fast food industry, when you came here?
Yes, because like everywhere you look, there's always fast food. Like every single corner, there's like a 7-Eleven or McDonald's and everything.
Right, and it's very different. What does a typical Cambodian diet look like? Like what makes up the majority of what you eat?
Rice.
Okay. See, I don't think I've ever had Cambodian food. I've had Vietnamese and Thai food and Chinese food. So, like, some of the surroundings.
So, the Thai food is adopted from Cambodian food.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So, like, what, Pad Thai and that is that?
We have similar to that. Like, very similar. It's just that Thai food, most likely they have spicy food. They're more into spicy. We're more into, like, the calm food. But we have a lot of spices in them, too. It's just not, like, as spicy as Thai food.
Okay. So tell me what your favorite Cambodian dish is, then.
It's called kakao, Samla kakao. It's like a soup. It's mixed with a lot of vegetable, and they have, like, coconut broth in there, too. So it's really interesting.
That sounds good.
But to some people, they find, like, oh, it's too flavorful for them because they're like, oh, you have the Cambodian flavoring come in and then all the vegetable. And then some they put it with fish or some of them they cook it with like chicken or like pork and stuff.
Okay. I mean, that sounds great. It sounds kind of like curry to me with the coconut milk, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's similar to curry, but it's like a Cambodian version of it.
Okay. Do you know how to make it?
I do, but it takes a lot of spices and everything.
Okay, so you don't make it very often then?
For here, since I came here, I haven't made it yet because some of the ingredient, I can't find it here.
Oh, okay.
And vegetable also.
Okay. Like what vegetables can't you find, for instance?
There's some vegetable that I don't even know what they call here because we don't have it here. But the vegetable that's in the soup that I see here is the long green bean.
Mm-hmm.
We cut it short. And then there's pumpkin and eggplant. Mm-hmm. I see it here.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever had eggplant in soup. That sounds pretty good. So I mentioned some of your neighboring countries, right? I talked about how I know, like, Thai and Vietnamese food.
Mm-hmm.
You said that there's some overlap between Cambodian and Thai culture. Is there a lot of overlap between Vietnamese culture and Cambodian culture, or not really?
Not really. Vietnamese is more like a cousin to China, like Chinese.
So what's a cousin to Cambodian culture, then?
We have what Thai they adopt from like Cambodian food and like the writing and everything from a long time ago. And then for us, we used to have like a bigger land for like Cambodian, but it's just like now we got smaller because the war, and back then like the Angkor Wat and it's war related to that. So then like the Thai have bigger lands than us now because of it.
Okay. So there's not much overlap, a lot of differences.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you said you left behind your mom when you came here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a big family?
Well, in my mom's side, I used to, but like my mom is actually a family of 13.
Wow, 13 kids?
Yes, but right now there's only 4 with including my mom. The rest passed away in the war or like they got sick when they were smaller.
In Khmer Rouge, what you talked
mm-hmm.
about? Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
Because my mom, part of her childhood, she grew up when that happened. So,
wow.
So right now I only have like 3 aunts left.
Okay, so, I mean, if not your core family, you said that it's you and your 2 siblings. Are Cambodian families typically big? Like, are there a lot of siblings?
Well, before, yes, a lot. Like, each family, if you count like 100 years ago, each family will have, 13 kids.
Wow.
Or like 8 to 10 kids.
And why is that different now, do you think?
I don't really know. Because before, we don't have like the, what is it called?
Birthdays?
The pills.
Birth control. You don't have birth control before?
Yeah, because it's a third world country. And then like, what they do is like farming. And then there's no like technology or anything. So,
No contraception leads to a lot of kids. All right. Okay, so do you think Cambodian culture is family-oriented?
It is.
Yeah? In what ways?
Because, define a family-oriented.
Like, they put family first in a lot of situations. Like, if you had, you know, work, relationship, and family, you would put family first above the rest of them. Mm-hmm. So you think so?
Yeah, because where we were raised, and since I know the culture here because my dad told me about different stuff here, and I visited here before, actually, when I was way younger.
How old were you when you came here?
I believe I was 6 or 7.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Do you remember much of it at all?
A little about it, but, like, when I went back, my dad still talked about it. I have a cousin here that, like, we video called and stuff, and I know more about it through my cousin.
Is this your aunt's kid, the one you said your brothers are living with?
My uncle's kid.
Oh, okay.
So my dad, he's Chinese. He's a family of 11.
Wow. So 13 and 11. That's crazy. So many siblings.
But his side, I still have 1, 2, 3. I have 3 aunts and 1 uncle.
Wow.
So 4 left. And my mom's side, there's only 4 left.
Okay. So you said you had a little bit of experience when you visited here, mm-hmm. And you were comparing American culture and, you know, Cambodian culture. You said Cambodian is more family-oriented in regards to American, if you're comparing them.
I'm not sure, really, about, like, it depends on the family, too, but the way Cambodian family, they're treated as, like, the main person is the male, usually. Before the history, there's about, like, the mountain, 2 mountains in Cambodian that was built. It was by human. It's because before, the guy is the one who stayed, and then the girl is the one who's going to ask the guy for marriage, and they give dowry. So if the girl asked him to marry and he said no, it's because she's not pretty and stuff. So then she stayed single. But then later on, they don't like that idea. So then the girls and the guy, they have like a bet. So then whoever built the highest mountains before the sunrise wins. And then the other one have to ask that other side hands for Mary.
Okay, so you have to build a mountain. Let's say I like a guy. Me and him have to build a mountain, and the one who is...
It's because before, it's like the girl is the one who asked the guy to marry.
Right.
So then both sides, like all the girls are like, that's not fair. Since they're the guy, they're more manlier and everything. They have to do like that. So then they have a contest, which all the girls come together and all the guys come together. And then they have a bet. So whoever's built the mountain first, the highest one, before the sunrise, win. So then they get together.
What is it built out of? Like, what do they put?
They take the dirt, they dig from another place, and then they pile up together to make, like, the highest hill or, like, you know, the small hills.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So then the girl kind of tricked the guy because based on the story, it says that in the middle of the night, when everyone start building and everything since, like, the evening and stuff, and then, like, they built high up, and the guys was faster because they have more power. So then the girl came up with a trick. So then they lit a lantern, and then they rose it up. So then the guys can see the lantern going up. So they think that, oh, the sun is coming up soon. So they stopped, and they were like, oh, the girls are, like, lower anyway, so they're not going to beat us even if we stop now. So then was the guy stop, the girl, they keep going. So by the morning time, when they see the girl's mountains are higher, and in Cambodian it's called Phnom Proh Phnom Srei, so it's like Lady Mountain and Man Mountain. It's here until today.
Is Phnom Mountain?
Yeah.
Okay, so I heard it twice.
Yeah, so if you go to Cambodia and then you ask about Phnom Proh Phnom Srei, they can take you there and then they'll tell you the exact story that I'm saying right now.
So it's a myth. It's like a legend that you tell children or, you know, whoever wants to. So today, do women still ask men for marriage?
No.
Since it's changed.
They won. So then now the guy who have to ask the woman to marry.
Oh.
And then I see, like, in here when they married, I think that they pay 50-50 for the, like, the wedding.
Right, in America. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, yeah.
So in Cambodia, when the guy asked the girl to marry in traditional, like, tradition way, he have to go through their parents.
Okay.
So if their parents say yes, they're going to ask how much does it cost to take her hand.
Oh, wow.
So the dowry. So then there'll be like 100,000. Or before, it's like 5,000, 6,000. Now they raise the price higher because the girls starting to go to school. They have jobs. They get
retirement fund.
They get not higher so far down. Pay. Yeah.
Higher pay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So then some of them, they get higher paid if they're like they're really smart and then they go to a good school and from a high background family. So then the guy, if the family said that, oh, it's $1,100. So they have to give $1,100 to the girl side. And the girl side, they'll use that to do the wedding, to plan everything. And then the leftover is giving to the mother. And the mother can keep it or she's going to give it.
The mother, do you mean the bride or the mother
the of mother the... The mother of the bride.
The mother of the bride, okay.
She can keep it or she'll give that money to the bride. So then she can use that to open like a small business instead of going to work. So then she can handle that business and take care of the kids.
Wow, okay. Wow, that's so interesting. I mean, marriage is so, it's a very different concept.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been a part of any of these ceremonies?
Of course, because my cousin on my mom's side, they're married. When my aunt got married, I was there. I was even like, they called it golden dag. But like in English, it's flower girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were the flower girl in your aunt's wedding? Me too. I was the flower girl in my aunt's wedding. And it's very different, but that's cool.
So when I know that here is like, oh, it's 50-50. And then over there is like the man is the one who pays and stuff. It's a lot different. And how you treat your parent here and how over there is also different.
Right. I mean, there's a ton of differences. One of the big differences that, I mean, you mentioned a few times while we were talking is the language.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Khmer, right? That's the...
Khmer.
Khmer?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you, that was your first language, correct, as you were growing up?
Chinese was actually the first one.
Oh, Chinese was your first language. So you're trilingual, you know, Chinese, Cambodian, or Khmer, sorry, Khmer. Mm-hmm. Khmer?
Yeah, you can say Cambodian or Khmer.
Okay.
It's the same. And then
English,
the third one.
And you learned that in school or through your dad?
Through my dad.
Through your dad.
When I was born, my dad, he wanted me to know Chinese, so he only speak to me in Chinese only. And then my mom would speak to me in Cambodian, in Khmer. And then after a while, and then he'll start to introduce English. So I was going back and forth between Cambodian and English, and I would talk to my mom in Khmer. And I've never known that my dad, he know Khmer also. But he kept that away from me until I was like six and a half. And then I heard him talk to my mom because my mom, she doesn't know Chinese or English.
Wow. Okay. So you thought that your dad didn't understand you until the age of six when you were speaking in Cambodian with your mom?
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny. Oh, wow. That's a well-kept secret. And your mom doesn't know Chinese. So how did they communicate, your mom and dad?
My dad, he know Khmer, so he speak Khmer with my mom.
No, but in front of you. They never spoke in front of you?
They spoke, but like he would say some Chinese word, and my mom, she would realize that word. She can't talk like really well in Chinese. She just know how to like understand a little bit of it. So...
Is there?
But I didn't really like pay attention that much.
Well, you were little. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame you. Is there a word that you know in Khmer that doesn't exist in English, doesn't have a literal translation?
Yeah.
Which one?
Like Lao Yin Buon.
Try to explain what that means.
It means like cool, like very cool. But like if you translate word by word,
mm-hmm.
Lao, it means like you're popular.
Okay.
Mbun is like nine, but like you put it together and it's become cool somehow.
Popular nine, like the number?
Yeah.
Okay. So popular nine, if I want to come up to you, you know, tomorrow, I'll be like, Vandy, you're popular nine. You'll get what I mean. Okay, interesting. And how do you say it one more time?
Lao Yin Buon.
Lao Yin Buon.
Yeah.
I probably butchered that. Okay. So, I mean... Are there Cambodian holidays that aren't necessarily rooted in religion? I know I read that, like, the main religion in Cambodia is, and let me see how I say this, Theravada Buddhism?
Buddhism.
Buddhism, okay. Did you grow up Buddhist?
Yes, I was raised, since Chinese is also like Buddhism, but it's a different kind of Buddhism, just a little bit different. But, like, my mom is Buddhism, my dad, he's also, so then when I grew up, I kind of, like, in there, but since now I'm
not as religious
not as
okay
as before.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. Usually when you move out on your own, you mm-hmm. kind of make your own decisions, see what's most important to you, and it's less a cultural family mm-hmm. thing. So we're almost out of time. I just want to wrap up with a few more questions. Mm-hmm. What is one thing that makes you consistently proud of your Cambodian culture?
It's how friendly and, like, kind that we are. It's how we respect others. So in America, when we talk to our mom and dad, some of our parents, they call it by name, right? They call your moms by name, or you call your dad by name. In Cambodian, you can't do that. You have to have respect for them, and even teacher. So we were raised very, if we call it here, it calls strict, because we always have to show respect for everyone. So that's the one thing that I'm proud of, and then that's the root that I grew up. And so I'm very proud of that.
So you would say the word mom or dad, or is there a special name that you call address them with?
You call them mom or dad, but then there's older Cambodian word. So there's the new Cambodian, and then there's the old Cambodian traditional way you can call. So, okay. Yeah.
Interesting. How do you say mom and dad in Cambodian?
So the new way is ba ma.
Ba ma with a P?
Ba is like papa, mm-hmm. like, yeah. Ba is dad, and then ma is mom. But traditional way, lokpok, lokopok, that one is father, and then nyamadai is mother.
Wow, okay, interesting.
It's way different.
Yeah, very different. It's longer. Uh-huh. But that makes sense because older is usually more complicated, even in English or in mm-hmm. Hebrew. So one last question. Tell me one thing you think most people don't know about Cambodian culture that you think they should know.
That's really hard. I don't know what should we...
What maybe here, like during your encounters with American people, what's one thing that you've seen where you're like, that's so ignorant, they don't know that about me? You know what I mean?
So we always, there's a tradition in that when we go see like older people, we always respect, like we bow our head and stuff. And we, like, I keep saying about the word respect.
Right.
Because in Cambodian, when you like go to your teacher, you always have to put your heads together and you bow down. And here, we just like, hi, or like some student like, what's up, professor? Like, what's up, coach? So it's different.
Was that weird to you when you heard that?
It's a little weird when I'm like, that's your teacher you're talking to.
Okay, well, I can understand that. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. Thank mm-hmm. you so much, Vandy, for joining our program.
You're welcome.
Tune in next week to tour a different culture that exists right here as part of Pierce's campus. Thank you for listening to Cultour from KPCRadio.com. I'm Sheer Nakash.